So three new arrivals show up at the pearly gates. St. Peter meets them at the gate and says, hey, I have some errands I need to do, some stuff I need to take care of. Would you mind waiting? So he leaves. He's gone for a very long time. And when he comes back, he invites one of the arrivals to come in. And he says to her, did you mind waiting? And she says, oh, no, not at all. I'm just so eager to see the face of God and the face of Jesus. I'm just so glad to be here. Peter says to her, okay, just one question. How do you spell God? Oh, capital G-O-D. Come on in. So he goes and asks the second new arrival to come in and asks the same question of him. Did you mind waiting? And the second arrival says, oh, no, not at all. I've been a Christian for 50 years. All my life has been pointed to this time. I'm going to be here for eternity. No, I didn't mind waiting at all. Oh, that's good to hear, Peter says. Just one question. How do you spell God? G-O-D. Oh, no, no, capital G-O-D. Oh, come on in, come on in. Goes out, brings the third new arrival in, asks her the same question, did you mind waiting? And she said, yes, I did. I have waited for things my whole life. I had to wait in line at the grocery store. I had to wait in line at the football game. I had to wait in traffic. Yes, I minded waiting. Oh, okay. Well, then just one question. How do you spell Czechoslovakia? But I'm ching. Okay, I just need to say, you know that's not the way it happens. But what that story does say is human beings, we have a hard time waiting. Is there anybody here who likes waiting? Raise your hand. I'm not going to put mine up. Oh, one person. Oh. No, we don't like waiting. And what's interesting is that the season of Advent is a season of waiting. Not waiting for the Christmas morning opening all the gifts, but waiting for the advent of the Christ. Waiting for the advent of the Christ in a manger, in poverty, in a backwater village. But also waiting for the advent of Christ in our lives and Christ's triumphant return. And so often that happens. The advent of Christ comes in unexpected ways. So as we're moving through the season of Advent, we're going to be moving through a worship focus that we're calling Visitations. And what we're going to be looking at begins with the idea that the people of Israel waited for hundreds of years for the Messiah to come. And then when it happened like it did, it was unexpected and surprising. And we're going to be looking at stories over the next couple of weeks of God's surprising visitations. And we begin this week with the visitation to Zechariah and Elizabeth. Now, Zechariah and Elizabeth would have been part of that community of the people of Israel waiting for hundreds of years for the coming Messiah, but they were also waiting for something else. Zechariah and Elizabeth their lives were the picture of piety, meaning that these were really faithful people, prayerful people, people who followed all the rules, all the laws. These were righteous people. They were admired in their community and honored in their community for the righteousness of their lives, for their lives of piety. But they were also honored because of where they could trace their ancestry back to. They could both trace it all the way back to Aaron, Moses' brother, the first of all of the priests. Both lines, both Zechariah's line and Elizabeth's line went all the way back. So these would be people who were highly respected in their community. People looked up to them. People said, that's who I want to be when I grow up, Zechariah or Elizabeth. But they also knew about Zechariah and Elizabeth that they were childless. Now, this is not the first time we hear about a couple who can't have children, who don't have children in the story of God and God's relationship with God's people, this story that we find in our Bible. The very first instance of that is Abraham and Sarah. And then you have Isaac and Rebekah. And then you have Jacob and Rachel. And then you have Elkanah and Hannah. All of them lifted up as people who were unable to have children. But what kind of begins to set Zechariah and Elizabeth apart is that Luke tells us just how faithful they were. Righteous, honorable, good people. And therein we see that their lives not only are the picture of piety, but they're a picture of paradox. Two things that don't go together. Because in that day, if you were unable to have children, everybody knew that meant that God was not happy with you. That God had pulled God's favor with you. That God had turned God's face away from you. For some reason, you had made God unhappy. And that didn't make sense. If these people are so honorable, so righteous, so faithful, why is God angry enough to not give them children? We don't know how long Zechariah and Elizabeth had been hoping and waiting for a child. We don't know really how old they are for sure. There are some scholars who want to say they were probably as old as Abraham and Sarah. And if you know that story, you know they were like 85 and 90, 95 and 90, something like that, when their child was born. But I don't think that's how old Zechariah and Elizabeth is. That's not how I read this story. Zechariah does say to Gabriel, "I'm an old man and my wife is getting on in years." But I think that could mean they were the old that begins to happen in middle age. And those of you who are in middle age, you know that you begin to feel some aches and pains and you're tired. And I can imagine that they might have been in their early 50s, maybe. But it's been long enough that this prayer that they've been praying for a child has gone unanswered for so long. And maybe they just know it's just not going to be physically possible. Maybe they know that. But I think it's been long enough that the prayer that they've been praying that's gone unanswered, that maybe they're thinking of abandoning it, setting it aside, locking it away. And maybe you know what that's like. Maybe you know what it's like to be praying and praying and praying for someone, something, and you feel like your prayers are hitting the ceiling and crashing down on the floor, or you feel like God's just not listening, or God has gone away, or God's angry with you because nothing's happening with it. You've been praying and praying and praying for the medical treatment to work and bring a cure. You've been praying and praying and praying for that one you love so much that they'll find their way out of the pit of despair and depression. You've been praying and praying and praying for you to meet someone with whom you could share life and create a family. You've been praying and praying and praying for a child of your own. And nothing. So you're ready maybe to abandon that prayer. To set it aside, to lock it away so that you don't feel the hurt of loss and grief and disappointment. Maybe you know what that's like. I think that Zechariah and Elizabeth knew what that was like. But what we see in this story is that in this visitation by God, that God will choose to answer prayer in God's time. And sometimes that's a long time. And God is not yet done with Zechariah and Elizabeth. So this day that we hear about for Zechariah, I think that this was probably the best day of his life up to this point. Zechariah was a priest, and there were anywhere between 8,000 and 18,000 priests in Israel in that time. And they would have been divided into 24 divisions. And twice a year, each division of priests would go together up to Jerusalem to serve in the temple. And they would leave their families behind because there was only room to sleep for the priests. So Elizabeth stays home in Judea, and Zechariah goes up to Jerusalem. And so they're there for a whole week. And during that week, every day the priests in that division would come together and they would cast lots. This is like throwing dice. And it was the way that in that time they listened for God's leading and looked for God's answer to particular prayers. And so they cast lots about who was going to do the most holy of work, which meant go into the sanctuary to burn incense on behalf of the people. And the lot fell on Zechariah. Now, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for a priest. You don't get to do this more than once. And so this is his day. This is his turn to go into this most holy of places, to do this holy work on behalf of the people. And I can imagine that Zechariah went in to the sanctuary with a whole mix of excitement and fear and joy and anxiety, because this is really holy work. This is getting about as close to God as anybody ever got. And he's there, and the incense is burning, and the people are outside praying for him and praying for what's happening. And then there's Gabriel standing beside the altar. And Luke says he was terrified. And if you know about other moments when this happens for people, this is an appropriate response. In the presence of God's presence, to fall on your face in fear, because most people coming into the presence of God, you don't leave alive, because people can't stand in the presence of God. He's terrified. But Gabriel's message to Zechariah is powerful and profound and personal and very intimate. God has seen you, Zechariah. And God has heard your prayer. And God knows your heart, knows your pain, knows your anguish. God has seen Elizabeth. And God has heard her prayer. And God has seen her heart and knows her pain and anguish. And there will be a child who will bring joy and delight to his parents in their advanced maternal age. And not only will he bring joy and delight to his parents, but he will bring joy and delight to all of creation. For this child is the one who will prepare the way for the coming Messiah, for whom you have been waiting. You see, what this story of visitation tells us is that a visitation from God isn't always just for us. It's also for the people we love and for the wider world. For God's message isn't just for us. So then what are we to do with this silence of Zechariah, this punishment from Gabriel to Zechariah because he doubted? What is up with that? How many other times in the story of God and God's relationship with God's people do we hear about people who express some questioning about whether this thing that God is saying God is going to do can really happen? Why is Zechariah silenced for 9 months? Is that about Gabriel? And Gabriel getting all irritated? I am Gabriel. Do you not know whose presence you are in? Well, because of that, I don't know. That's how I've always read it. That is Gabriel getting all high and mighty. But we don't really know. We don't really know. But I wonder part of what's happening here is this is this forced silence is like a forced fast from speaking. And in these 9 months, it's about Zechariah letting go of having to make it happen on his own. And instead, waiting on God. Because God is in the waiting. Now, we are people who do not like to wait. We don't like to wait in this season. Especially because this season, which I really believe has been hijacked by our culture, totally hijacked. This is Advent is our season. This is not the culture season, but it's been hijacked because the culture says this is a season of busy. This is a season of doing. This is a season of buying. This is a season of preparing food and gifts and houses and parties. And it's a season full of expectation, but not expectation for the Christ, but expectation about what Christmas is supposed to look like. The season has been hijacked. And we have a hard time waiting and being still. And I wonder what it might be like for us to take it back intentionally in small ways. Maybe one way you might think about doing this, and this is only if you're a morning person, because I think if I try to do this, I'll just go right back to sleep. And that is set your alarm maybe 5, 10, 15 minutes earlier. And when it goes off, don't just pop up and start the day. Wait. Wait. And breathe. And settle your spirit before launching into the day. Or maybe if you're someone who likes to listen to music in the car or podcasts or something like that, and you really like the Christmas music in the season, what if the next time you're in the car, you turn it all off in the quiet just to be? What might those kinds of acts of intentional waiting do to our mindset? I begin to think that in the waiting, God may move in unexpected ways. Because that, my friends, is what God does. Glory to God.